We'll be dealing a brand new topic today in Matthew 15 and verse 19. If you will turn there, Matthew 15 and 19, we're continuing in our series on keeping our heart against. Okay, keeping our heart against. Matthew 15 and verse number 19. Okay, let's read this particular passage. We'll read from verse 18 and 19 for context. Okay, I think it's two together. Alright? Matthew 15, 18, 19. Ready? One, two, go. But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile the man. For out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, murders, adulteries, fornication, thefts, false witness, blasphemy. Alright? So the Bible talks about the thing. Things that go into us doesn't defile us. Of course, we do have to fight it in our minds, but things that come out of us, what we say, what we do, our ambitions and all that reflect what has gone in. Okay? So today we're going to deal with the area of thefts. Thefts. I will need to be honest. When I studied this, I realized I'm such a big sinner in the sight of God. Over the many years, I have not known many things. Okay, I will highlight a lot of things. And big sinner means there are so many things which we have not really, for me, myself, as I'm studying this, about thefts. What does it mean to steal? Okay, we'll be talking about that. I really ask God, forgive me, and I need to do a lot of changes in my life in the different areas, okay? You know what I mean as I keep going. Okay, I'll give you some statistics first to begin with by way of introduction. The thefts in Singapore, I was just looking through the Singapore Police Force in terms of its statistics. The stealing in Singapore in January to June 11, they make a comparison. January to June of 2011 was 9,158 cases in 6 months. Close to 10,000 cases in 6 months. Okay, same period of time, January to June 2012, it went up to 9,457 cases. From 9,100 to 9,400, the same period of time. You know how they always want to make these kind of comparisons. So there's an increase of 299 cases, increased by 3.3% in Singapore. And we thought that Singapore was a safe place, right? We got a lot of this crime. This is according to the Singapore Police Force statistics. Let's define, all right, what is stealing? What is stealing? Okay, I'll put a definition there. The act of stealing or thefts, okay? Jesus talked about thefts. In the Greek word thefts also refers to stealing. Okay? The act of stealing, so this is for parents, for Sunday school teachers, for youth, when you want to help someone, you must get your definition right. So this is the definition of stealing, okay? Stealing refers to taking another person's goods or movables, meaning that things can be moved. Alright? It's very hard to steal a piano. You can, but it's still movable. Okay? That it refers to taking another person's things with the intention to steal them, and to classify under stealing, it must be done without the owner's knowledge. It must be done privately, and it must be done against the will of the person. That's stealing. So which means that if someone comes and take my things, say, okay, take, never mind, that's not stealing. You've given your permission. But if someone comes and take it away, as I'm looking on, I didn't say yes or no. That's stealing. Because it's against that person's, the will of the person, okay? So this is the act of stealing. As defined biblically, and also as defined from the Webster's Dictionary. Let's turn to Exodus 20:15. Okay, we turn to a few verses. And this is interesting because Exodus 20:15, we usually just take it as four words, thou shalt not steal. But Exodus 20:15, when you actually think through it, there is so many things involved in these four words that God actually gives to us. Okay, Exodus 20 and verse 15. Let's read together. Okay, ready? One, two, go. Thou shalt not steal. Okay, thou shalt not steal. That's a very, very straightforward command given at Mount Sinai. I want us to understand this context. God put thou shalt not steal as one of the Ten Commandments at the beginning when Moses collected the law. And that is a very, very significant thing if we think about it. That God says, thou shalt not steal. Okay, thou shalt not steal. Okay. Now, this command was repeated in Matthew 19:18. I'll just read for you. Jesus said, he saith unto him, which Jesus said, thou shalt do no murder, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness. Okay? That is repeated again in Paul's teachings in Romans 39. Romans 39 says, for this thou shalt not commit. Go ahead. Thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal from Mount Sinai. Then Jesus repeated in Matthew 19:18, thou shalt not steal. And then Paul also, apostolic teaching, thou shalt not steal, Romans 13:9. So it was repeated. This teaches us a few things. Number one, and this is important, okay, because I don't think I've heard this before as I was reading and learning about that. It teaches ownership. This teaches ownership, okay? It teaches ownership of things, that things do belong to someone. Things do belong to someone. Everything belongs to someone. Everything belongs to someone. I want to sink in a bit. In other words, this pen, I actually took it from here. Actually, it's freeware. People can use. But things do belong to someone. Let us think. It teaches that God gave us the right to own things. It's a sacred right given by God. Our families, okay, this is my family, this is my chair, this is my wallet, this is my smartphone, this is my eyes, this is my body, this is my time, this is my possession. In other words, God has given me certain things that I own, okay? So with that in mind, we need to realize God has given us this right. After this, we'll open up a bit more, because that right leads to other responsibilities that as Christians we need to remember. All right. So firstly, we own things. I have a bag, I have my watch, I have my house, I have my bed, I have my cupboard that belongs to me. All right. I have my time, I have my friends, I have my possessions, I have my spiritual life, I have my heart. Those things belong to me, which teaches us a second thing. When God gave us that sacred right of ownership, it also teaches us stewardship. The word stewardship has to do with not so much we owning things, but remembering that the things that is given to us is for us to use for God. Okay? When we understand that what belongs to us actually doesn't belong to us, it has been given to us so that we can use it to glorify God. Okay? Any questions there? Yes. Yeah. Yes, yes. Correct. Okay. Okay. Sure. So, from a non-believer's perspective, let's say for a non-Christian, but my eyes are, just my eyes are, my conscience, I can do what I want with that. Which is actually, when the person reasons like this, it reflects where the heart is. Remember, we're talking about guarding the heart. It reflects that the heart is set on who? God or self. If a person says, this is my eyes, what? This is my money, what? I can do with it what I want. So that means he's arguing from the perspective that me, self. Whereas, if I think, okay, I know this belongs to me, but my priority is God's righteousness, then I say, yes, I know it belongs to me. I need to take care of it, but I need to use it for God. So there are certain principles that I cannot go cannot bypass. Because as much as I know God has given to me, as I own it, but I'm still accountable to Him. Because He has made me a steward of what I have. Does that make sense? We need to be very clear. Yes, it's true. And many people will say, this belongs to me so I can do what I want. Like the pro-choice, I think, you know, pro-choice will say, when they want to go on for an abortion, they will say, what? This is my body, what? You want to abort the baby, so that's my problem, right? No, it's not. Yes, it's your body, but the child is given by God, right? So which means that there are biblical principles that we still need to keep on to as a Christian. And this is an important thing because sometimes, even as Christians, we will say, this is mine. It's mine. But we forget that it actually belongs to God. And Jesus was teaching us to guard our hearts against the selfishness that comes out with it. Alright? Thanks for that question. That was good. Any other questions? Okay, so in this principle, is also involved one more principle, the principle of work. The principle of work. When we work for it, it belongs to us. It is the increase, the sowing and reaping principle that God justly applies this law of nature, that when a person works hard, he gets what is his due. So if you work 30 days, your boss should pay you 30 days salary. That belongs to you. Right? But remember, last time in the context of Israel, they were talking about sowing and reaping. So it means that you plant a farm, you work hard, God will give the increase. And then you... Yes, the farmers can say, which was the problem in Israel that time, and say, I work hard for it, so it should be mine, right? But God reminds them, hey, let's turn to Deuteronomy 18:8. This was a problem in Israel. Deuteronomy chapter 8, 18, I think. Deuteronomy chapter 8, sorry. Deuteronomy chapter 8, I'll read from verse 10, then you understand the whole context, okay? When thou hast eaten, Deuteronomy 8 verse 10, when thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt bless the Lord thy God for the good land which he has given you. Okay, so just Moses told them, but in verse 11, beware, be careful that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping his commandments and his judgments and his statutes which I command thee this day, lest when thou hast eaten and art full, and has built goodly houses and dwell therein, when thy herds and thy flocks multiply, and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied, and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thy heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led thee through great and terrible wildernesses, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint, who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thou fathers knew not, that he might humble thee, that he might prove thee to do the good of thy latter end. And thou shalt say in thy heart, my power and the might of my hand has gotten me this wealth. And this is a warning that Moses said, but thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, because it is he that giveth thee power to get wealth, that he may establish his covenant which he sware unto thy fathers as it is to this day. I think that also answers Brother Denzel's question. God blesses us. You know, the fact that we have health is God. Because God can just strike us dead if He wants to. Our life, our breath, our thinking, everything belongs to God. And you know what? When God gives to us, the Bible is very clear. Give it back to God. Honor Him with it. Alright? So in this situation, remember, when we work for it, it does belong to us. But remember, when we work for it, it was God who gave us the benefits. You know, you can work for a company and a company go bankrupt. Right? It has happened before. You know, some of our Filipino friends have had to be retrenched and sent back. Why? Because of the recession. I think some of our church members, they do not know whether they'll be retrenched or not because company is not doing well. And they're working very hard, 13, 14 hours. The remembering also is God that actually gives the increase. Let me say this, I hope it doesn't happen. God can bankrupt Singapore very fast. Or any country in the world for that matter. It's true. You know, some countries are literally bankrupt now. Why? Big countries. US having problems. Germany, the EU having lots of monetary, but Greece, Greece, you know Greece? Greece, you can literally rent a police car for $50. You want a helicopter? $150. Why? They have no money. Huh? You want to rent policemen? Also can, to take care of you. Huh? $50? Can. All the money. They cannot even pay their own workers anymore. God can bankrupt a country. So when we remember that overall, the money that we have actually comes from God, it gives us a different perspective, alright? So ownership, stewardship, and the principle of work. So children must learn to work from young. Because by nature, actually, if we have a chance, we won't want to work. We're all lazy. So children have to be encouraged to work. Sometimes give them incentive, but you know, they be encouraged to work, okay? When an individual works for something, that belongs to him. That's a sacred right of ownership. God actually put, thou shalt not steal, to honor that right. So which means if I work hard, I get myself a laptop, for example, and I do my work on it. I work hard for the money, I bought it. God says, that's yours. It belongs to you. And God actually says, thou shalt not steal, to protect your right to own that. Does that make sense? So when someone else steals the laptop, you can actually raise it up as an issue. Because if God gave you that right of ownership, no one is supposed to take it away. Does that make sense? Okay? So God gave that sacred right of ownership to us, that when the person acquires something for himself, but when a person acquires something for himself without working, such as gambling, 4D, when you don't want to work, but you want to get the increase, it is not right, it is sin. Why? Because the property should be gotten in an honest and truthful way. If the money that comes in is through lottery, gambling, it is taking the money that actually belongs to someone else without working, and you're trying to take it away from that person. Does it make sense? Gambling is a curse to many people. A lot of people don't work, but they play lottery. Why? After I give you some reasons why people steal, okay? Any questions? Okay, let's move on. So it is actually dishonoring to the Lord when we gamble, because it reflects distrust in God, it shows our unbelief, and it's covetousness when we gamble, and therefore it is sin in our hearts. Okay? So, any questions? So that's the ownership part. Now come to the stewardship part. The second application of teaching stewardship. Remember, our property that we have, though we have earned, rightfully belongs to God. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7. That's what Paul tells us. Maybe we have people on my left. Look at 1 Corinthians 4 verse 7 and people on my right. John chapter 3 verse 27, okay? 1 Corinthians 4 and verse 7. Okay? People on my left, ready? 1, 2, go. Differ from another. And what hast thou that thou didst not receive? Now, Paul actually told Corinthians, what have you that you have not received? You know the clothing that you have, the glasses that we have for some of us? So do you realize when you are born into this world, did you come in with iPod? You come in with glasses, or all come as one package? No, you came here as nothing. You're just naked. And when you come in, God clothes you. Do you realize when you leave, people have to clothe you again. So everything that we have, actually God gave to us. All right, John chapter 3, verse 27. People on my right, ready? 1, 2, go. I know in John chapter 3, spiritual application. Spiritually, we cannot receive anything except God gives to us. But you know what? It's a general principle in our life, isn't it? How many couples struggle to have children and they can't? How many people want to look for a job and they have a hard time? How many farmers, when they dig and plow, and they actually have to look to heaven and say, Lord, we need your help. We need the rain to come at the right time. Okay, the former and the latter rains. All right, in Egypt, in Israel. You need to remember that nothing we have actually belongs to us. As a Christian, even our salvation is not ours. It's given to us by God. There is no place for pride at all as a Christian. Why? If we will just stand before God, we just say, God, nothing belongs to us. It's all given to us by you. Okay? And so when we have that mentality in what we have, then we will actually have the proper attitude in our hearts. Okay? So, very quickly, I know we have worked for things, we own things, but what are three principles, very quickly, for how we need to use our possessions? What are three principles? Anyone? There's some discussion. There are three principles in the Bible. Let's say you work, right? You earn your money. How do we use that money in a biblical way? There are three principles that I just want to highlight. What are three principles? Anyone? How do you use your possessions? Sorry? Number one, support your family. Let's turn to 1 Timothy 5:8. Biblical principles for how you use your possessions. Later on, then we talk about how white people steal, okay? 1 Timothy 5:8. That's the first one. The first use of your money is to support your family, okay? 1 Timothy 5:8. That's what Paul says. Let's read together. Ready? One, two, go. But if any provide not for his own, and especially for those of his own house, he had denied the faith. It is worse than an infidel. It's worse than a non-believer. So the biblical principle is, a lot of people, non-Christians say, Christians only want, churches only want money. That's not true. God says that when you earn your money, you support your family. That's what Paul says. If you don't, you are worse than a non-believer. Even a non-believer would think about taking care of the family. So God says, as a Christian, taking charge of your family is a big priority as well. Okay, that's one. What's another use of the money or possessions we have? Anyone else? Sir? Another use of money that you can think from the Bible? Huh? The what? To support the work of God. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 14. Okay, I just read. You can jot down in your notes. Even so had the Lord ordained the day which preached the gospel should live off the gospel. It's God's principle that the pastor or the missionary be supported. So which means the funds that we have to have a mind to actually give to these people because it supports the work of God. Okay? One more thing. Let's turn to Ephesians 4 verse 28. Ephesians 4 28. These are the three principles that is constantly used, but I'm sure there are others. We may have to find them, but I have not found them. Ephesians 4:28. So I usually use this as three principles of how we use our possession. But Ephesians 4:28. Philippians 8. Ephesians 4:28. Okay, let's read that. Okay, let's read that. Ready? One, two, go. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. So what is the third reason of the use of your possessions? Sorry? Give to those who have need. Give to the poor. Alright? Give to those who are poor. That's why even in our church budget, we have set aside $250 or $300 a month. Alright? Called benevolent fund. Anyone that needs, we can use that to support these people. Buy rice or whatever. Church is not a social security institution. Church is not a welfare institution. Okay? But God did command his people, when they see someone poor, we cannot close our doors. We must give. We must do something to help them. Okay? So even the possessions in our church is actually not used for ourselves to feel comfortable only. It's actually to give to others. Yes. Well, the Bible didn't say here, the Bible just said to those that have need. The Bible didn't say whether it's a believer or non-believers. Of course, the Bible did qualify. I believe very much the heart of the Lord Jesus Christ oftentimes goes out to everyone. Okay? But I'll give you one more verse. Let's turn to Galatians. Galatians chapter 6. The heart of the Lord is always open. That's why the Bible says, the rain is given to the Christians and also to the non-Christians. Because God gives freely. But in Galatians chapter 6, verse 10, God actually brings out a principle of church life, which is important, okay? As we have therefore opportunity, Galatians 6:10, let us do good unto all men. See, general principle, right? But then he makes another qualification, especially to those who are of the household of faith. In other words, our hearts must be more open to Christian brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible says, right? We help everyone, but when we see a Christian brother in need or sister in need, we need to go the extra mile for our brothers and sisters. That's what the Bible, that's what the scriptures teach here. That's why Paul was so, when he learned that there were, I think in Jerusalem there was a big earthquake and there were a lot of problems and many of the brethren were very poor. And Paul determined to get a collection among all the churches so they can bring to support these brethren. Because let's put it this way. If as a Christian family you can't help one another, where's the power in the gospel? Okay? So does that make sense, Brother Robert? Okay, you can see that. The heart of Christ goes up to the whole world. That's why he died for the whole world. Okay? But when you get saved, God actually gives special instructions that you need to take care, especially of those Christians. Not to be exclusive club, but our heart needs to go out to our brethren first. And I'll tell you why. Let's turn to 2 Peter. If you look at the connecting thoughts in this, in 2 Peter, talking about spiritual growth, okay? 2 Peter chapter 1. I taught this before a long time ago, and I realized that God has put in some what we call a sequential development, meaning that this will lead to this, will lead to this, will lead to this, okay? So in 2 Peter chapter 1, if I'm not wrong, I think Brother Robert preached from it before. In verse 5, besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, virtue knowledge, knowledge temperance, temperance patience, patience godliness, godliness what? Brotherly kindness, and the last one is what? Charity. Do you know what's brotherly kindness? Brotherly kindness, when we can get to the point of genuine brotherly kindness, it means for brotherly kindness to happen, I know you're my brother. We actually have a connection. Does that mean? We actually have a connection. Our connection is what? When I say I love our brother June, what does that mean? Our connection is what? He's a Filipino, I'm a Singaporean, but what's our connection? The blood of Christ brings us together, amen? We have that brotherly kindness. We are able to love one another, we're really able to be open. But you know, to grow from that to the next one, what's the next one? Brotherly kindness, next one is what? What's that? Charity, right? What is charity? What is the meaning of charity? Agape? Okay, what does agape mean? It's a working one, okay? To express? It's a brotherly... Okay. For us to move from brotherly kindness to agape, brotherly kindness, we can still expect people to say thank you. Agape. When you reach agape love, you don't expect people to give you back anymore. Does that make sense? Because agape, in translate, I really want to use it in a more layman term, unconditional love. Love without conditions. Okay? So which means for us to get from brotherly kindness to agape, we need to grow. But you know what God wants us to operate on? The brotherly kindness. But if we don't have brotherly kindness, we cannot think about loving unconditionally. You know, parents, we are oftentimes called to love our children unconditionally without asking for anything in return. But you know what Jesus said? I expect Christians to love each other unconditionally. John chapter 13, verse 34, 35. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye agape one another as I have agape you. Okay? So, does that make sense? Okay, so those three principles for the use of money now. So we are stewards of the things that God has given to us, not to use for our good only, but for the uses God has designed for it. Alright? Now, why do people steal? Now we go into thefts already. Okay? So the background, we own things because we work, God gave us the right to own things. But remember, we are to own things, we are also stewards, we are managers of that. Okay? And then we find out how we use our possessions. Why do people need to steal? Anyone? Why do people steal? Okay, one principle is necessity. Some people steal because of necessity. Do you know what is the punishment 100 years ago for stealing a loaf of bread? Do you know what was the punishment today for stealing a loaf of bread? Let's say you go to the shop, you steal gardenia. What do you think the courts will give you? A fine or... Singapore is a fine country. Okay. For stealing a loaf of bread, they may let you off with a stern warning, or usually they try to settle it there. Don't go to court because you waste a lot of money. Okay? So the manager come, or you call your parents, or you call your whoever. Alright? But if you are so unrepentant, they bring you to court. Okay. Do you know what is the punishment 100 years ago? For one loaf of bread you steal? 10 years in jail. Are you listening, teenagers? 10 years ago was 100 years ago was 10 years in prison. Where did we get that information? When my wife and I and our children were in Perth, we visited the Fremantle prison, and that was what the prison tour guide was telling us. You know, and do you know what's the girls listen up? Those teenage girls listen up. Do you know what is the? Do you realize that loitering in the streets for girls is a crime? You know what's loitering? Now today we have a lot of young girls just loiter on the street, do nothing, right? Handphone and... Do you realize in those days, 100 years ago, loitering is a crime. And you go to prison, the women's prison, and they have a mother superior there. A mother superior? And they will teach you to sew, cook, and you stay there for a long time, a few years, until you learn a trade before you get out. Okay, so just to give you some interesting facts. But why do people steal? So, okay, one is some people really steal because they need something. Okay, would that be true? They're hungry, perhaps. All right. What is another reason people steal? Right. And any other reasons why people steal? Sorry? Maybe brother? Covetousness. Okay, I want something so badly, I go and... steal. What else? Huh? Discontentment, okay. Envy, how come that person have something I don't have, I also want. Okay, then, okay, that's probably under covetousness as well. Okay, anything else? Laziness. I don't want to work. So, quick one. I've seen that before when I was in China. Okay, I'm not saying all Chinese are thieves, but I was just walking out, and then I was very surprised because this lady was carrying they sell tea leaves, all right, in packets and all that. But this guy just came, stretched over and just grabbed and run. And then the lady just, oi! Then she chased after. Of course, the man ran faster because she still got to carry her thing. And she cursed and swear. Just take and run, you know? No. Why do people steal? I'll just give you some reasons, and after I'll share you how do people steal, and that's where God really convicted my heart a lot about things, okay? Why do people steal? They steal internally in their hearts because of unbelief. Unbelief. The reason why is unbelief is because, let's turn to Psalm 78 verse 19. Psalm 78 verse 19. These are reasons in the heart. And because we are guarding against stealing, this is a very important thing for us to take note of, okay? Unbelief. Psalm 78 and verse 19, why people steal. The Bible says, yes. Let's read together, right? Those who are there. Psalm 78 verse 19, ready? 1, 2, go. Yea, they speak against God. They said, can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Now, what do you think is happening here? In Psalm 78... Psalmist David is recollecting the past. But the children of Israel, when they were in the wilderness, actually said this, can God give us food? Table has the idea of, can God give us food in the wilderness? All we see is scorpions and snakes and dry land. Can God provide for us a table in the wilderness? Question for Christians, can He? Can God provide for us a table in the wilderness? Yes, and He proved that. Do you realize if God did not provide for them, the nation of Israel is no more today? Agree? Because for 40 years, no. How many of us, if we don't eat for one meal, we will faint? If God didn't provide them meals for 40 years, it will wipe out the entire nation. Not only food, but God also provide water, right? And I don't know where it's barbecue chicken, but quails came also. God provided for them 40 years. Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Yes. But you know what the problem was? That question, can God provide for us, is reflection of unbelief in the heart. And sometimes people steal because if God cannot take care of me, then I have to think of other ways. That's why people cheat. That's why people go under the table. That's why people have dishonest dealings. Why? Because they're not Christians, number one. And even sometimes as Christians, they may resort to that to get the deal. Alright? So unbelief in the heart, number one. Number two, as mentioned just now, covetousness. Covetousness. The Greek word for covetousness means an immoderate desire of getting. I want. We have this Patch the Pirate CD that actually have this disease called the gimme disease. And parents, have you seen that in your children? Gimme disease. And if we cater to the gimme disease, when they grow up, it's always gimme disease. That's covetousness. Okay, it may not be heart of covetousness to begin with, but because we all, when children grow up, even for us, as we grow up, generally, we only want things for ourselves. Okay, however, if that keeps on, let's say when I'm young, and I want, and it's given to me, I want, it's given to me, I want, it's given to me, I want, it's given to me, after a while, my heart is set on covetousness. Does that make sense? But if a child or whoever, that if I want, wait, you got to work first. Got to work. Okay, I work. So someone has shifted me to learn that I have to work. See, then I work. I work and get so much. Then I work harder. And someone has essentially shifted me from a covetous heart to a hardworking heart. Does that make sense? Any questions? Questions? The covetousness in our hearts is an immoderate desire of getting. This is the root cause of stealing. Covetousness is a root cause. You can be lazy, you can give the reason that you need, therefore you steal. But ultimately, the proper way of getting things is to work. That is God's way. What did God say in 2 Thessalonians? If a man doesn't work, neither. If a man doesn't work louder, neither shall he eat. That was God's principle. If you understand this, and say, what? Then I need to get a job. Yes, you do. Then I need to work hard. And say, but Brother Johnny, it's very hard to get a job. Then do something worthwhile with your life. You know, even in the home, you can help the home, vacuum, whatever. You know, if a man doesn't work, neither shall he eat. And so, a man, the root cause of stealing and theft is covetousness. A man covets more than what he has. And this itch of covetousness will make him scratch what he can from another. I want. If I don't have, I get it from someone else. Okay? So, in Colossians chapter 3, verse 5, let's turn there. This is a very important. In fact, when you read Colossians 3, 5, you realize this covetousness, this thieving, this stealing, is actually a very serious sin in the sight of God. Okay? Colossians 3, verse 5. Let's read there together. Ready? Colossians 3, 5. Ready? 1, 2, go. Mortify therefore your members which are upon the earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. Okay, which is idolatry. And covetousness, which is idolatry. The word covetousness and idolatry Do you realize? Where does the thou shalt not covet come in? Is it in the Ten Commandments? Thou shalt not covet is in the Tenth Commandment, right? And it's interesting because that is the only commandment that deals with the heart. Because thou shalt not covet. You can't see coveting. You can see stealing. You can see murder. You can see disobedient to parents. You can see people swearing. You can see people making idols. Thou shalt not covet. It's so serious. There's only sin that deals with the heart in the Ten Commandments. It covers the whole range of things. Any questions? Yeah, I know. Thou shalt not steal is... Because I cannot judge your heart of stealing in the Old Testament. I didn't take what? I may have the intention to steal, but I didn't take. So it's not considered stealing because I didn't take, as far as God is concerned. Does that make sense? Yeah? But thou shalt not covet. The covet, you cannot see coveting. It's inside the heart. Does that make sense? You see the difference? If I steal, let's say, if I steal Tim's iPad, let's say he go to the toilet, I take it, I put inside my and then I try to pretend. But then say, Brother Johnny, why is this square? Is there this big square in your... Nothing, I never take what? There? The evidence, okay? But if I say, oh, I like the iPad, man. I like it, man. You cannot see what I'm thinking. Let's pretend I don't tell you. Does it make sense? So the cover thing may not necessarily mean that you take... Because the word covered has to do with a desire that you cannot see. But it's interesting because thou shalt not covet was put in to show us that we have sinful desires as well. Okay? And God has to deal with that because it's sin. So God actually calls it idolatry. When we covet things that we don't have and wish, oh, I wish I had this, I wish it's like that, I wish, and we go our whole life towards that, God says it's idolatry. You are worshipping the thing, whatever it is, you know, it may not be a thing, it may be an ambition, it may be a desire, but when we do that, God says it's idolatry. But that's serious. Okay, that's very serious. Any questions? Okay, let's move on. Okay, so practically, people steal because of necessity, laziness. Some people steal because they want to look good. All my friends have this, I don't have money to buy, so I take. And they say, oh, see my watch, how nice, huh? Where did you get it from? I pick it from the floor. It happened before for younger children, okay? And sometimes we steal because, not we, but people steal generally because they want to be rich. They just want to be rich, okay? Because the Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, nothing wrong with money. You need money to eat afterwards. We need money to run. Money has no problem, it's the love of money. When you love it so much, it's like every morning you only see S and S11. Maybe that's why it's called S11. Don't know. The S11 coffee shop, I don't know. Lots of money coming in, you know? And everything, when I was in a particular institution, I won't tell you which one, we were taught that everyone that walks in that organization is worth $25,000. Because they are service-oriented industry. So every client that comes in is worth $25,000. Okay? So we better have good service for this particular client. Otherwise, we will lose that $25,000. It's a sad thing. Unfortunately, in Singapore, everyone is seen for their economic value. Isn't that true? Everyone is seen for their economic value. How much can you contribute to me? And so we have to be very, very careful. That is the cultural thinking. God's thinking is everyone is an individual that God loves. Okay? So, okay, now, how do people steal? Just now we talk about why. How do people steal? Okay, let me just share some, or maybe anyone, how do people steal? They just take that. Okay? What else? What other ways do people steal? I'm going to divide into personal and corporate ways of stealing. Okay? Corporate. Corporate meaning what we do at the office. Okay, quite interesting. But how do people steal personally? Only for young children. I'm not saying young children always steal. I'm not saying that. I'm just generally young children, teenagers, adults. How do we steal? Oh, stealing time. You're very fast, huh? Stealing time. Okay, stealing time. And just for interest sake, you may not agree, but this is something that God convicted me a lot about. An illustration. If I drink, time belongs to me. Time belongs to the other person also, right? We all have time, possession of time. So, which means, okay, so time belongs to me, time belongs to someone else, okay? Now, if I do something, let's say I'm doing art and craft, so I did art and craft, and then I walk away, leaving a mess behind, okay? Children, pay attention. My time, I want to keep it for myself, to do my own thing. But then someone comes and says, hey, your table's so messy. The time to keep this, who should take responsibility for the mess? The person who did the iron craft, right? So when I help the person to keep that, my time has been taken by someone else to do something that he was supposed to do. Which means that person, after doing all that, left it, which was supposed to be his responsibility to pack up, kept the time for himself to do what he wants, but imposes on someone else, who then have to clean up the mess, otherwise they cannot do anything. That's what we call convicted my heart. Any questions? I don't know. Any thoughts on that? Do you realize that if this is the case, it's a very serious thing that many of us, because the reason I believe sometimes people say, I need to do this first. Right? Then someone else comes, yeah, no choice. See, the reason why this the person then does what he has to pick up after you or whoever, how do you think that person feels? One time, two times, okay. No? But 16,000 times. Let's say the person just finished, you know, let's put it this way, a work office. You know, some people will do and just leave a message, hey, sorry, and will just say that sorry, and they say that sorry, and say that sorry. After a while, that sorry becomes very heavy for this person who has to pack. Does that make sense? Which means that this person has stolen this person's time. And this person gets frustrated because that time, actually, I can do something else, but I have no choice, I've got to do it for you. When it's actually your responsibility in the first place. It's stealing time. Wow. When I saw that, I said, God, forgive me. I need to be very, very careful. Because time is in my possession. God gave me time. God gave us enough time to work, to clean up as well. But God also gave the other person time. So when I do something that imposes on someone else, I'm taking away his time. That's stealing. And God says, thou shalt not steal. You don't. In other words, God says, I've given you the possession of time. You use it wisely, not for yourself only, but to honor me. So which means that if I just think of myself, use my time for myself, and not according to God's principles, I generally will impose on someone else. And that person will definitely, after a while, get very frustrated. I've been doing this again and again and again and again. Why? You know what? That's why God says, thou shalt not steal. When we understand this principle, that we have our own time, but we need to be careful that we use our time to do what God's, what our responsibility is. So that someone else don't have to use, we don't use someone else's time. That's actually stealing. Now, in the Christian context, I don't believe it is wrong. In fact, I believe it's out of a heart of love that it's okay, but I'll do it for the brother or sister. And is willing to take out their time to give to someone else to clean up that mess. And I think that's a Christian virtue. But when people don't take responsibility after a while, it gets absolutely frustrating for the person who keeps giving and giving and giving. Does that make sense? Any thoughts on that? Any questions? Sure, sure.
Out of selfishness.
Okay, so ignorance and selfishness.
I need to go and how you okay. So just leave the thing without okay. Thinking that somebody will have to
okay.
So I thought that this is more a matter of learning to communicate and then how to work together without having to subject one another with bad feeling of always have clear. And then, of course, if communication is proper, one time, two times, okay, but more than three times, or so, like, say, I would just approach the person and say, I have this issue with you. Simply, like you always have this habit or this problem.
Remembering.
Not living and not clearing up somewhere. It's just a reminder, it's just a form of helping one another, you know, more considerate.
Sure. It's hard.
To associate stealing more with something perhaps physical.
Yes, yes.
Something more that, that is a loss of possession. Of
yes.
Property, you know, even in corporate level.
Yes. Okay.
We take things from office and then we don't consider. I think that is more something that we need to consider.
Okay.
Because it's physical. It's
anyone?
Crime, for example. Yeah. Okay, I tend also. Sometimes we need to be mindful that we don't steal the company time.
Mm.
Do other things when we're supposed to work, you know, what internet, SMSing, or go away and have a longer coffee break and all this. I think for that matter, I think we need to
sure.
Consider that. In terms of this, you know, it's very hard to.
Correct. Let me, okay. I understand. It's hard to determine. I think it's more tangible because the company is paying. So the company will lose money. Right? So you can tie to that. But trying to think how to actually present this. Number one, when a person may be ignorant and presumptuous, okay, of certain things, if it's wrong, it's wrong. Presumptuous or not. It's sin, it's sin. Okay? So we need to be very clear on that. Just because we say we don't know or didn't think about it doesn't make it right. Do you agree? Let's say, very classic example, when I was in Perth, I fetched my wife and from the airport, we because it was so dark, I went and I had this 3.8 liter car. Once I press up, it goes very fast, you know. And so it's like 0 to 100 in 5 seconds kind of thing. Then after a while, this light comes and say, there's no. Then I mean, at least at that time, I know that the highway, but you know, the highway there's 110, 130. So the police came. Did you know you were going 130? I said, I don't know. I just pressed and I went. Okay. So, but I was caught. I was put to a side, because even though I didn't know, but the police still had to put me to a side. Okay. So I want us to understand one thing. Please understand this. I don't know. Or ignorance doesn't equals to not being dealt with. Agree? It's yeah, sorry.
I think go by the definition of what you said, that the
sure. Yeah. Okay.
But the he may not have the intent to say, I want to kill the mother's time to clean up another place. But the point is that really, more laziness.
Sure. Okay, yeah. I totally agree. So right now, the Bible actually says, before the law came in, there was no sin, right? Before the law came in, there was no sin, right? But now that we understand, now we're no longer under the law, but under grace. Okay, I want to make it clear. But because we are ignorant of, hey, actually it's affecting someone else. But now that it's highlighted, actually is to God is equivalent to taking away someone else's time. Alright? As much as I agree that we may not have the intention of stealing, like stealing, but we have to understand that in the sight of God now is equivalent to taking someone else's property, which then leads to frustration on the other party's part, that the party may not tell you. And we have to be sensitive, that we have to be responsible. Like what brother said, we have to communicate, sorry, I really cannot do this. Do you think you can do that? If that person, sorry, I need a rush. So then whose responsibility in the end? It's still back to that first person's responsibility. Would you agree? That ultimately, that person still has to be, okay, well, no choice, I've got to do it because someone else couldn't do it. I have to do it. Alright? So, appreciate the input because, yes, I'm still trying to think through because it seems quite odd, but you know, when you realize that actually in the sight of God, because the property of time, let's say, Brother Gideon have 24 hours, I have 24 hours. Who gives me the right to take away even 1 minute of his time? Because he has certain things that he needs to do. Except by agreement. Okay, except by agreement. Okay, okay. Maybe I just go through some of the things, how people steal, okay, because of time. On a personal level, taking advantage of an ignorant in a bargain. If you know this person don't know the market price and you deliberately quote something lower and you get it, that's actually stealing from the person. Because the intention is to take advantage of someone else. Taking advantage of the helpless. God is absolutely... God hates this. That, for example, a helpless, I think in America or different places, of the, even in Singapore when we're relatively poor, those who are rich would take advantage of the poor. For example, rental. I think some of our overseas workers, because of our high rental, I know sometimes, you know, in the housing, people want to make money and they may say something that will actually, they lie to you so that you will pay. Okay? When we take advantage of that, that's stealing as far as God is concerned. Okay? But because you agreed, then you have no choice. Okay? There was one time many years ago when we bought a car, I think a car, Hyundai Stella, and this guy... Actually, I was a bit rushing, so I didn't think through. But one of the things he said, well, I tell you what, if you just add $50, you know, someone else is also wanting this car for the same price. If you add $50, I sell it to you. So I did. It was $50. Then I realized, actually, he was lying to me. There was no one else wanting the car. He just wanted to push up the price. That's being dishonest. That's stealing. That's stealing from someone else. Because I was ignorant, okay? So when we do not give what is justly due to that person, example for... Let's say if I say that I'm going to do this for this person, but I didn't do it, that's actually stealing also, because it belongs to that person. Okay, delaying to pay debts, though it is due, is also... of course, if you don't have, then you have to negotiate. But you know, some people will hold because they want to hold the money, they don't want to pay. And that's happened before with, I think, Brother Jacob, or some of these people who work, and those boys deliberately actually... stall the payment. There was one time I saw an assessment, then the lady just didn't pay me for the time that I gave many, many years ago when I was freelancing. That's actually stealing because it rightfully belongs to me because I work for it. Okay? That's stealing. Misrepresenting your income tax to governments is stealing from the government. Why, Rajani? It is. Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's and render to God the things that are God's. Okay? Depending on others, depending on others for your own living is stealing. In other words, if you can work but you don't want, you're actually taking from that person without working. Okay, because the Bible says if you don't work, you don't eat. That's a Bible principle. Okay, stealing by forgetfulness, right? It's just different variations. You take it. You just think through this. Some people with bad memories borrow things from their neighbors and friends and forget to return them. Now, to the persons who lend these things, it is just as bad as a thief should come into the house and steal them. And I took this, it's quite interesting, because some people, we borrow things but we don't return. And after a while, you just kind of forget about it. And usually it's by convenience, because you actually have put in a lot of effort just to remember. Okay? So umbrellas, books, and things of that kind are likely to suffer in this way by cunning. Counterfeiting money is also, if you know that money is counterfeit, last time I used to think I can write checks. Because I see people writing checks, so I go and buy a receipt book. Because I thought it was a check. Thank God I didn't give. Alright, when I was a non-believer, top one, it's easy money, man. But being cunning, okay? On a corporate level, like what Brother Tin Leong mentioned, time, we steal time from our company, that's stealing in front of God. Punctuality, I'm just writing what someone else said. Punctuality, there's a stealing of another's time, opportunity, when you keep the person waiting, and later on. And this is interesting because he actually qualifies this. He says the reason why it is stealing is because, I'll just read what I have, because I just kind of hold it. There's a stealing of another's time and opportunity and the peace when you keep him waiting or fuming through your own failure to keep your engagement with him punctually. In other words, you set a certain time, I'm guilty of this, most of us are in some way or another, where you wait, the person put the effort to be there on time, but we didn't. Unless there's significant things that we have to do. But you know what? I believe a lot of us, if we just manage our time, we'll be punctual. Agree? If we just manage our time, we'll be punctual. Me too. That's why I had to apologize because I did offend someone because of that. It might be a small thing, you know, 5-10 minutes. After a while, we will punch you in the face. Because why? We don't realize that the little that we take away can add to someone else's discomfort. Okay? Stealing of ideas. Plagiarism is stealing. Okay? Taking credit from others when it belongs to another person. Let's say a person works very hard, and then I believe it's rampant, whereby one person will do a lot of work, but the other person gets all the credit. That's stealing. Because both have to work. Okay? And there's this thing called the perfect theft, okay? When we fail to acknowledge God as the giver of our gifts, and we use it as if it's our own, we fail to give God the glory, that's stealing from God what rightfully belongs to Him. Some people may not think it this way, but if you study the scriptures, let's turn to the book of Acts. Okay, I'll need to find this. Acts. I think it's chapter 12 as well. He made a speech, Acts. Let's see, if someone can help me to find. King Harry was eaten of worms and he died. Does anyone have a concordance? It just came to my mind. He was eaten of worms. In the book of Acts. Chapter 12, thank you. Okay. Verse 21, chapter 12, verse 21. And upon a set day, Herod, arrayed in royal apparel, sat upon his throne and made an oration. I mean, he gave a speech. And the people gave a shout, saying, "It is the voice of a God and not of a man." And immediately the angel of the Lord killed him because he gave not God the glory. King Herod was a non-believer. But then when he actually was proud and said, this is the voice of a God, not a man, God killed him. Why? Because he gave not God the glory. He didn't give God the glory. All glory justly belongs to God, not to the pastor, not to anyone else. Because, of course, we can encourage one another. We can say, well done. We need to, in fact, we need to do more of that, encourage the people. But genuine glory belongs to God. And God killed this King Herod because he gave not God the glory. When God gave you the paycheck at the end of the month, do you give God the glory? How do we give God the glory? Through our giving, through helping someone and say, God, I honor you with this. Yes, I see a need, Lord. Do you want me to help somewhere? Because it belongs to you. Help me to use it. And it's interesting, when you use it for God, you always have enough. When you use it for God, you always have enough. Why? Because God can see and God can trust you with that. Okay? So, does that make sense? A lot of things that I will say is, sometimes people don't see it that way. Just because you don't see it that way, We need to study the scriptures to understand not merely what is written, but what is God's heart with regards to this whole area of... It's not just about things physical, but it's also about time. And you know, some of the people go as far as to say, I don't steal the dignity of another person. I don't steal the honor of another person. Okay? I don't destroy the honor of another person. Just taking it away. Or from the... And they go as far as to say, as a pastor, if I don't preach what God says, I'm stealing the reputation God is putting on the pastor, and I'm starving. I'm getting all the so-called honor, but I'm not fulfilling my responsibility. That's stealing from God, because the position of pastor means I need to feed, put in time. If I don't, I'm going to play golf or do something and just have my own free time. And Sunday, I kind of just take a sermon in a minute, you know, just download and just give it to you. I'm stealing from your time because you put in the effort to be here. Then I need to reciprocate that. But okay, I'll make sure I give you what I believe this is what God wants us to learn. And when people, that's why one of the things in worship, I did tell the worship leaders before and the pianist, when people come to worship, you make sure you give them the best environment. We do our best. So it's like we had to work through some of the things. Why? Because we don't want to steal from people's time. And that is, if you don't think about sin, let's think about honoring God. More positive way. We honor God if we do our things properly. Yes. We do our things properly, we honor God. We are punctual, we honor God. Yes. We work hard, we honor God. We pick up the mess, we honor God. And you know, we honor God and we edify the other believer too. Say, thank God for this brother who's taking responsibility. We honor God. Okay? But the reason why God has to say, thou shalt not steal, because people's hearts are so hardened to the point, they don't see it anymore. It could be ignorance, but you know what? When people share, the person must, oh, it's so serious to you, I need to make a change. Okay? Any questions? So the perfect theft is when we fail to acknowledge that it is God. You know, it's God that gives us this church. It's God that gives us one another as friends, as Christians. It's God that gives us everything. But when we fail to exercise proper ownership and stewardship, we are actually discounting the fact it was God who gave us in the first place. That's what it means to be a Christian. A Christian means everything I have, like what the Apostle Paul, everything points back to Christ. Everything points back to Him. And my responsibilities, my work, everything points back to Him. Even our possessions, okay? More serious instances of thefts, I just add, to steal when one has no need. Have you done, have some people done it, to steal when the person has no need? You know, some of the, there was one, I think, I can't remember whether it's a parking warden who say, I heard someone say, this person can drive a BMW, but still cannot even afford a $1 parking ticket. And he want to park for free. So the warden put the parking fine on the person can afford a BMW or a Jaguar and don't even want to pay a $1 parking. Okay? To steal things that rightly belongs to God. That is a very serious offense. That if I have a pastor, I use my position to get what I want, I am very in serious trouble with God. Okay? That's a very serious offense. To commit the sin of theft when your conscience tells you not to. When God, the Holy Spirit, says, don't do that. Okay? It could be in Acts chapter 5, that's why God had to kill Ananias and Sapphira. Okay? Now on to rob the widow and the orphans. God hates that. When as Christians, I don't believe we will, but when there's an attitude that, huh, that person doesn't have much, you know, he cannot fight back one, so I will take away from that person. God hates that. Okay? Exodus 22:23, if thou afflict them in any wise and they cried all unto me, I will surely hear their cry. That was what God says. And God hates robbing the poor. Okay, so any questions? So any questions about this? I understand the people may not steal stealing time from one another as let's say the packing up and all that. It's not just that, right? Other things as well. Even as pastor, I must be very clear, starting meetings on time, finishing on time, because I need to be conscious of that, okay? So, but even, you know, even between one another, we need to be so sensitive. I'm not saying being paranoid, like, wow, I better be careful of this. No. But when you love the brother, or when you care for the other person, you would want to make sure that things are done properly so that the other person won't be penalized by it. Does that make sense? I'm thankful for the cleaning groups and make sure that things are right. Not just a cleaning group, but in every aspect of our service for God, if we are diligently, from start to finish, packing up and all that, things are put back in the proper place, the next person that comes to use it, have no problems. Does that make sense? Otherwise, I'm very messy. Okay, and thank God, my wife, she's very orderly, so I get to learn a lot of things. But you know, I'm teaching us as pastor, teaching the church as pastor, we need to be sensitive that because every one of us has a possession of time. If you want to use the word time, we need to be sensitive to one another so that we will be able to show that love for one another and say, hey, I'm not going to allow you, I'm not going to take away from you what rightly belongs to you. So I'm going to do my responsibility properly so that you don't have to be penalized by it. And that is the principle of love for the other brethren. Of course, on the one hand, the brethren will think this way. On the other hand, the recipient will then have to say, it's okay, God made me a servant, so it's okay even if I give my time to clean up. Hopefully, along the way, you'll find that the Bible is full of balances. This person ought not to take advantage of this person's time, but this person, being a servant of Christ, say, it's okay. My heart is before the Lord. I give you my time to help you. So that balances. So I'm responsible to God for my responsibility to manage my time properly to help the brother. This recipient of that will then also say, I'm responsible. Ultimately, it boils down to our personal accountability. It's not about what you, Lord, that. No, we are personally accountable to God. God has given us both responsibilities, so let's just honor God by doing what we need to do. Does that make sense? If I'm supposed to do this, then I do it. And if I didn't, then I'm sorry. I need to be humble and say, I'm sorry, I should have done that. And it's always very important to be first to do that. Where we need to do what we need to do. We all have personal responsibility. It's not the other person. When we operate on the other person's, you know what happened? We go straight back to Adam and Eve. When Adam blamed Eve, Eve blamed the serpent, and the serpent blamed the ground. Nowhere else to blame. Yeah? Christians just take responsibility for what God has given to us. Okay? Any questions? Yes, bro.
I think all these are continuing. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 9 is about honor, God, so what we have, sometimes we don't give, but what we have. I think it's also important to honor God. I mean, we all the three above support me, it's all honor God. But what I meant is what we have, we don't honor God. For
okay.
example, I think a very simple example. We all need shirt.
Nah. Okay. Okay, I understand what you're saying. The way you do the giving, the way you buy things for yourself, also you need to put in the honor and reverence for God. I totally agree. Do you understand what Brother Denzel is mentioning? So which means that even if I use my money, I don't go and use my money to buy 4D or go and use my money to support. There was one time in Australia, I totally agree. The money is mine. But I don't give my money to, when I buy something for myself, that will reflect something that will not honor God. Right? For example, my money should be not used to buy CDs that reflect rock musicians, for example. Or I go and access websites that are not suitable morally. Because, yeah, it's mine, but you know, I may want this, but if I know, example, I can't say I'm not against. I'll just use Starbucks, for example. Starbucks, do you realize for Starbucks, if you go, some of the money they use actually goes to support the gay agenda? As Christians, we may not understand that. So, for us, we're not going to Starbucks. That's my personal conviction. You can go all you want. Okay, but just remember, a bit of money will go to the gay agenda. the homosexual agenda. They support the gays. And therefore, some Christians have said, no, for us, we take the stand based on our conscience. No, no, we're not going to Starbucks. Because the money that I give is actually supporting an agenda that is not right, therefore. Okay? However, that is for Starbucks. But if your country don't support Christians, you still have to pay your taxes because it's an explicit instruction. God says, render to Caesar, the emperor, those in charge, taxes due to him. And then you render to God what belongs to God. Okay? For Starbucks, they are not the government. Alright? Okay? Not too sure whether we sue for defamation, but I'll just make it very clear. They do have the agenda, and therefore we, for us personally, if you don't, I'm not going to judge you just because you drink Starbucks. But if you know that, so you can make that informed decision whether that money will go in the right direction. Okay? You honor the Lord with your things. Any questions? Appreciate that. And hopefully this will add to our body of knowledge as a church. We will grow and we will actually walk with Christ as a whole. All right? Let's have a word of prayer. Let's pray. Lord, we want to honor you with everything we have got. And Lord, even we talk about guarding the heart against thefts. And sometimes, Lord, we may not see it, but I pray that even as it is mentioned, that we will take it seriously and meditate upon that. And to see whether, Lord, in the final analysis, when we stand before the judgment seat of Christ, would you also take that perspective? Lord, the law can become a burden, but when we know the truth, it will make us free. Free, Father, to live for you, free to obey you freely from our hearts. And it's not because of our human effort, but because of what Jesus Christ can do in our lives. Oh Lord, help us to understand this principle. And help us to consider one another so that we can fulfill the law of Jesus Christ. Lord, we thank you. Increase our faith. It's a short time we have fellowship before the service. I pray that you would help us to be an encouragement to one another. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. We'll finish up next week, all right? With how to keep our hearts against thefts.